Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Whew! It's election day, and pollsters are predicting low voter turnout. Low! Despite the high-profile races on the ballot. The fate of the Senate hangs in the balance nationally, and on the state level, the ballots are littered with contentious gubernatorial races and controversial ballot amendments. In Vermont, pollsters are predicting a maximum turnout of 45%. Blaming it on the openness of early voting. In the Berkshires, city clerks said they'd be surprised to see voter turnout in the region's biggest city, Pittsfield and North Adams, top 35%. These low numbers echo predictions nationwide as voters seem to be showing no more interest than they did during the last midterm elections in 2010. Why the low voter turnout in such a very big year? We want to know what you think. Are you voting? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Well, the phones are already beginning to pick up, but before we go on, I just want to tell you a couple of things. I've mentioned my esteemed colleague, who I love so much, back at the Eagleton Institute of Politics when I worked there in the 1960s, Sebastian de Grazia, who wrote the seminal of Time, Work, and Leisure and other books, and a great philosopher, and he said to me, I don't vote because I don't know enough. Then there are people who say, I don't vote because it only encourages them. Then there are a whole host of people who are just, you know, they don't just get around to it. They don't realize what this country has, which so many others don't. And then there are those who think, hey, it's all bought and paid for. But in any case, I really want to hear what you think. Now, either if you're not voting, tell us why. And if you know somebody else who isn't voting, just tell us what your friend is thinking. Okay, let's go to Greg in Gardner. Okay, Greg in Gardner, you're on.
Hi, we all need to vote. I'm sorry to hear there might be low voter turnout. I happen to be very dissatisfied in Governor Cuomo. I'm actually wondering how the Working Family Party is going to fare. I'm thinking the Green Party may benefit on the liberal side. Yep. And also very confused by the redistricting measure, although I voted against it. I was a little bit confused about it.
Well, okay, we'll take them one by one by one by one, okay? The last first, because my aging memory will permit me to do that. Obviously, I believe, this is Alan speaking now, not for the station, but for Alan, that first, but you did the right thing. That number one on reapportionment is a turkey. What happened was,
that's what I heard.
It's a turkey. You know, and what happened is a bunch of the governor made its deal with his legislative leaders, and they said, okay, in 10 years, we're going to have an outside commission. But the outside commission is going to be appointed by those guys. And if they don't like it, then they get to do what they've always done, draw their own districts, which is, in my opinion, one of the worst possible outcomes in a democracy, because who allows it? How can we be a democracy if we allow the people who are running for office and in the majority parties in both houses to draw the districts where only they can win? I mean, it's absurd. And it is undemocratic, and you did the right thing, in my opinion. And again, I want to express my opinion. Now, give me the next one.
Let's see. Dissatisfied with Cuomo, very disappointed with his starting this Woman's Party, which we all think was really just to hurt the Working Family Party.
Well, you know, let me stop you.
I voted on the Green Party. Go ahead.
Let me just stop you right there and tell you that this is a fascinating one. I'm so, as a political scientist, I don't know how many other people care about this kind of stuff, but I'm like a pig in you know what. And it's just so interesting. I was watching last night, you know, when you turn the cable on, if you don't know where you're going, you automatically get the cable station, you know, whatever that is.
Right.
And I saw, I think Liz and Benjamin, who's very good, and interviewing somebody, I think, who was from the Green Party, like the chair or the co-chair of the Green Party. And she said, you know, Cuomo's got this thing set up where is if you want to punish him, you vote for him on the Working Families ticket. And she said, how's that punishing him? How is that punishing him? Now, Cuomo was mad at the Working Families Party because They humiliated him. He goes up there, and they're gonna do Zephyr teach out as the candidate. And in comes de Blasio, the mayor. He argues forcefully for Cuomo. I have no idea why, because Cuomo continually humiliates de Blasio. But in any case, the city's a creature of the state. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We know all of that stuff. So now he gets him in, and Cuomo has to promise that he'll elect a Democratic Senate, which is, I believe, Alan talking now, the last thing he wants. I think he wants a Republican, Senate so that they can be the bad guys and he doesn't have to say no to people. Are you following me so far, Greg, or am I?
Gotcha. No, okay. We gotcha.
Okay. So, so now he sets up this other thing, which some people think is directly related to punishing these people who humiliated him, the Working Families Party. And I think, frankly, the Working Families Party deserves what they got, because instead of sticking to their guns, they let the usual coalition of big boys run over them. And so did you say you voted for the Green Party or not?
Yes, I did vote for the Green Party this time on the governor's line.
Right. Gotcha. Well, again, so far, so good. What's the next one?
let's see. That was pretty much
okay.
It.
Greg, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it a lot. Yeah.
Have a great day. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Raymond in Great Barrington. Hiya, Raymond.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to make this as short as possible. The reason people don't vote.
Yep.
From my observations throughout life is poor education, ignorance. I hate to use these terms, but, and apathy. They just don't care, probably because of the first two.
Can I add one more to your list, which is very interesting? I think that the people who are the best healed, in other words, who have the most money, are far more likely to vote than the people who have the least. Some are flipping hamburgers, they can't get there, that kind of stuff. Some are don't have the same educational issues back up. That's terrible, but they don't.
And the people who should get out, who have some of the most perilous in their lives issues,
right,
are those that don't vote.
And then you get
education and so on.
And they said that, but that's great. But then you get people like some of the conservatives in this country who know that the last thing they want are those folks voting and getting out there. So what they do is they make the voting qualifications harder and harder, right?
Well, back in the 60s, I won't get into it, but for black people to vote before the 60s, you're aware. I don't need to go into it.
Indeed, I am. They had to recite the Constitution. What else you got?
Backwards. I'd like to touch on, am I voting?
Yeah.
And I'm burning. I wish I could have called you last night. I did call the station to see if they knew of someone I could get in touch with to get to the polls.
Oh, boy.
I'm at Kindred on Maple Avenue, the nursing home.
Well, the terrible thing is my number is in the phone book, you know. I hate to say that out loud.
I never thought.
But anyway, I had to vote early because I had to vote early, Raymond, because I had to be here in the morning and all day, and we're going to be on the air from 9 to 11. So, but maybe Roselle could have helped you. I don't know.
I would be voting.
Yeah.
Getting a ride to the polls and so on.
You got it?
I had a sudden, serious, medical, painful issue come up, but I still will. I'd go right now to vote if they'd let me.
You mean if they'd let you from the nursing home?
Yes, but I can't believe they'd say I couldn't vote. I'd go to doctor's appointments and so on.
Sure.
Anyway, who can I call?
Why don't you call the Great Barrington Senior Center?
Oh, good idea.
Why don't you call the Great Barrington Senior Center, and I bet they'll have some ideas for you.
Yes, I think so, too. Actually, I thought if anyone would know around this town, it would be you.
Raymond, thank you so much for calling. I want to get to everybody else, okay?
Yep, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll get to Peter and Kevin and Carl and Bill.
Support comes from Curran Compliance Services, hosting a national symposium on life insurance compliance November 12th through the 14th in Saratoga Springs, featuring keynote speaker Cynthia Cooper, whistleblower at WorldCom, currancompliance.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com and on Facebook. The Center for Extended Care on University Drive in Amherst, a family-owned and operated nursing center offering rehab, long-term care, and Alzheimer's specialty care. CECAA.com. The Albany Show, 40 dealers of antiques, jewelry, and decorative arts this Friday and Saturday, holiday gifts and more at St. Sophia Greek Orthodox Church, 518-356-0292. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscotch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com.
And we are back thanks to our wonderful Zachary. Let's go to Peter in Albany. All right, Peter, you're on.
Hello.
Hey, Peter. Go ahead. Bring it.
Very good. Well, here's my thing. I need you to straighten me out. I'm leaving for work, from work, in about 40 minutes to vote.
Yep.
And you have to put me back on my principles. I'm going to usually vote all Democrat. I like the platform, the liberal. But I'm leaning away from this, I don't know if I can, I guess I can name people, Cecilia Kachek.
Kachek.
Yeah. Always hard. Because I could not stand the mailings anymore. I started off a month ago with one, then every other day, and then in the last 2 weeks, one a day, three phone calls on my machine, and finally two of each a day. So I'm really I'm beyond my ability to want to vote for her.
Well,
straighten me out.
I've interviewed her. I've interviewed her opponent, George Amador. I can tell you this much: I know her fairly well, and I like her a lot. They, as my mother would say, they all do it, and you know why they do it? Because it works. I mean, this whole idea.
Does it work?
It works.
It's worked against me at this point.
No, I hear you. Every day, my inbox is I get 1,000 emails at least a day, and many of them are from Nancy Pelosi and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and you name it. And on the other side, all kinds of people saying, Alan, and they know how to do it. You know, Alan, we're counting on you. We're going to lose this election unless you do this. Do something, Alan. So after a while, it's like when you drive your car from Great Barrington to Albany, you know, you just sort of go delete, which is what I do. One of the reasons that the Kachek election is so important to the Democrats is a very good chance the state Senate will go Democratic. But because Dean Skelos has, under his watch, as the senior leader, been able to draw the districts where only his people have a better chance of winning, this is going to be a formulative election, very important. And Kachek is one of those people right on the line. Now, I have to say that the polls are showing not so good for her. Last time, she won by 18 votes. And the reason she won by 18 votes was that it was Barack Obama's election. And a lot of people came out who traditionally don't come out. But that's the most I can tell you about that.
Right. Well, that's good information. Do you believe there could be any relation with her polls going down because of too much exposure?
Absolutely not, since they both do it.
Okay.
And I'll tell you something else. My bet is, Peter, that they have identified you as a loyal Democrat. And therefore, they're not going to write to wake up the Republicans. They're going to keep writing to the guys they think they can count on because it's such a close election.
I probably should have replied to one and said, okay, already, I got it. talk to me about, is it as important? I'm definitely a Democrat nationally. I don't know why anyone that makes under $1 billion a year would vote Republican. But do you believe it's the same platform on a state level?
I think there are certain, I want to be very careful here, but I think there are certain things that you can assume that that people generally, not always, but generally who have the most money are going to be shifting towards the Republicans, and the people with the less are going to be towards the Democratic model. Now, of course, there are exceptions, so hold your phone calls. But basically, yes, I think that is the case. That so that, for example, let me give you a good example of that. The continual urge to have elections that are paid for by the government so that everybody can get in on it. Well, you don't think that the Republicans are for that, do you, in the New York State Senate? They are not, and they are not for a good reason. So that would be my answer to that one.
I just don't understand why the 90% are voting Republican, but they shouldn't. They should, you know, I don't know why people without money are voting Republican. But
well, I have a theory on that. Not that you need to hear it. But I think that the middle class who aspire to be rich, right, who aspire to be rich, have a choice in every election. That is, can we be with those people who have less than we are? As in parentheses, you know, why do they get everything and my kids have to pay for college and their kids don't? And that's middle class people, right? It makes me crazy, but that's what they're saying. As opposed to, I'll vote for the Republicans because maybe someday I'll be there or win the lottery.
Right.
Thank you, Peter. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Kevin in Cambridge. Kevin in Cambridge, you're on.
Hi. I think actually it's the lack of voting participation is not so much that people aren't educated and so forth, but more that they've correctly intuited that or decided that their vote is more of a for optics than actual influence.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study at MIT, I think the last 6 months, that showed the opinion of the voters had effectively zero impact on the policies and legislation that was passed as opposed to what the lobbyists and the actual people putting the money behind their opinion.
So you think that there's an intellectual decision on the part of the people who don't vote not to vote because, as I said earlier, it only encourages them. Is that it?
Well, I don't know that it's intellectual, but I think it's more of an intuitive that this is there is not a meaningful choice, and very often, especially I think on the national level, I wouldn't describe. I think Democrats and Republicans are, you could call them, flip sides of the corporate party.
Yep. Gotcha.
And I think.
Well, there's no question.
Social movements are probably what's going to be more effective, but it's much more. How does someone start a social movement?
Well, no, but somebody goes out in the street sooner or later when they get totally frustrated. And sooner or later, the people who are in charge take notice. I mean, let me give you an example. When I was a kid growing up, or when I was at Hunter College, 1959 to 63, Norman Thomas wasn't allowed on our campus. there was this whole anti-socialist movement. And now I'm exaggerating, but a lot of elementary schools in New York are named after Norman Thomas. Sooner or later, things get going.
No, it is. But, they effectively shut down the Occupy movement pretty quickly.
People got to stay with it. I have such admiration for our district attorney here in
Who in
Albany, who just stuck it in, the governor's eye.
I applaud him.
Do you know how much courage that takes? I mean, it really was extraordinary.
It does. It's a fantastic thing to see. I'd love to see it more often.
Kevin, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Let's go to, I guess it's Carl. Is it Carl? In Troy?
Hello.
Hello.
No, it's Kurt.
Kurt. So sorry.
No, that's quite okay. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Wanted to touch base with you and get your opinion. The New York State ballot is a two-sided ballot. And
right.
When I took mine out, it bled right through to the other side.
Wow. We have that in Great Barrington too. People have to know to turn over the ballot. I remember once, I hate to say it, and here I am, big professor of political science and all the rest of the thing at two institutions, and I take the ballot and I fill it out, and you have to use a pen, fill in the little thing. And when I left, somebody said, "How'd you vote on the propositions?" And I said, "What propositions?" They said, "What, you didn't turn it over?" So
they were good about advising us to turn it over and take a look at it.
Yeah.
But when you do fill it out, then the marks bleed through to the other side onto your marks for the front side.
That's bad. You know what I would do if I were you, Kurt? I would call the Record or the Times Union and make that complaint. I think that's worth a story.
Okay. I'll follow up on that because I mentioned it to the poll taker, and they said, "Oh, yeah, that happens." And they've heard a lot of complaints about it. It took about 7 passes for them to be able to take my ballot because it had bled through.
Yeah, my mom, who I quote often, used to have a phrase that returns to me every once in a while, which is, "That happens accidentally on purpose."
Yeah, I was wondering about that too.
Okay, Kurt, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Bill in Albany. Bill in Albany, you're on.
Hello, Alan. How are you doing today?
Well, all right. It's going to be a late night. I'm feeling sorry for myself.
I'm excited. We're political junkies, so we're watching MSNBC.
Right.
Anyhow, the reason I called is my wife and I are traditional Democrats, but this year we voted for the Green Party, Howie Hawkins. My wife is retired from PEP. I'm retired from the New York State United Teachers, so we're not going to vote for Cuomo. Right? And also, I want to thank you for having more influence than I do over my wife, politically speaking. Last night, over a glass of wine, we discussed who we're going to vote for, and she was going to vote for Cuomo initially on the Working Families Party, again, thinking that she's going to send Cuomo a message. And I tried to say to her, if you want to send Cuomo a message, or the two major parties a message, vote for the Green Party. So today in the roundtable, you had your argument why people should vote for the Green Party and send a message to Cuomo and the Republican Party as well. And you did it again earlier in this show, and lo and behold, she voted for the Green Party. So I want to thank you for that, Alan. You still have influence over people.
Well, that's very nice of you, except that I just want to say I'm a little nervous about that. I don't tell people how to vote. I try to explain what the issues are. To me, this woman on the Green Party, who was on Liz Benjamin's show last night, I think it was Liz's show, and says, how are you punishing him if you're voting for him? I thought that was a very good point. And what I can't figure out is whether he's got that all figured out or not. But in any case, listen. It's great to talk to you, Bill. And thank you so much for taking the time to do it. You voted today already?
Absolutely, we voted early this morning. We've been voting since the McGovern election, whether it's presidential or midterm. I cannot vote.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I often explain to my students about political socialization. Our attitudes politically, I mean, my parents made it so clear that, there are a few things in life, like not overdrawing on your checking account and voting every single time in every single election.
We go around the world defending democracy.
Right.
And you see people in Africa and Asia and Middle East, if you will, standing in line, long lines, okay? And that happened in Florida, too. But the reason they're standing in long lines in America is because the Republican Party, et cetera, is trying to deny Americans the right to vote. So if we're going to be the number one democracy, then we need to be a shining example to the rest of the world.
Well, while we're on the subject, I've said it already today, but nothing infuriates me more than the idea that in blue state New York, you get a Republican leader who draws districts where he has a maximum advantage. If you think about it for a second, it is absolutely, absolutely terrible. So
my wife and I voted no on proposition.
Well, I think you did the right thing because I think it's a phony maloney.
But and one other thing, I'm sorry to take up time. Sure. On our ballot, and I didn't scrutinize it closely, but on our ballot in Albany, I didn't see where it said turn it over. My wife reminded me, Bill, don't forget the propositions on the other side. And even the poll watchers didn't mention, oh, it's a two-sided ballot.
Yeah. Well, I told you my sad story. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for what you do, Alan.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to David in Albany. Okay, David in Albany County, you're on.
Hi, I just want to ask you a question about Cecilia Kacik, but first, the gentleman, when he mentioned Prop 1. Obviously, you have to be suspicious seeing that Shelley Silver and Scalise wrote that up. So it's basically...
With the governor.
Right.
Okay.
So am I correct in the fact that it's just window dressing, that if this goes down and it fails, that they have to go back and rewrite something that...
No, they don't have to do anything. Look, here's the thing of it. In this thing is going to take effect in 10 years. But if I'm really aggravated by the fact that Skelos and Silver can draw the districts where only they can win, and sometimes they go through 6 counties or 5 counties in order to screw the other guys,
right.
It's outrageous. I mean, it's really outrageous. Well, if I feel that way, I think a lot of people are beginning to feel that way. So they had to come up with something. But because there was all this angst, all this anger, all of the pent-up emotions about this thing, so they come up with this thing, and you may remember that they had written into it disgracefully that it was going to be an independent commission, and the judge made them take the word independent out, because
right.
It's not independent. That these jokers are the ones who are going to appoint them, right?
Right.
And if they don't like what their own appointees do, then they get to do what they've always done, draw the districts all over again.
All right, so you're saying that it was done because there's opposition to what is already out there,
yes.
And that within 10 years, hopefully people will rise up more and,
well,
and do
well,
what they should be doing in the democracy and actually, you know, making phone calls and writing letters, right?
Or they might even do it sooner.
All
but
right,
what
so
happened is that this was the whole idea here was to take the wind out of the sails. That was
right.
The idea. Well, you're very smart. Thank you.
All right, so then that would then lead into my question of Cecilia Kacik. Since this is a Republican district.
A drawn Republican district. That's
right,
correct.
That, you know, because I hate the fact of people thinking that in this democracy you just spend one day for 1 minute in a booth or whatever, click it, and then hope that person's going to solve your problems in your life. That people don't get out there. They don't make any phone calls. They don't write any letters, which they think is not useful. And people should know that obviously if one person writes a letter, they're talking to 10 friends. So that's really 10 letters instead of just one.
Sure.
But anyway, here she is in a Republican district. If she got in, there's really nothing she could do other than be a seat warmer and get you a culvert when it washes out in a storm. To do anything really progressive, she could never do it because she'd be voted out. Whereas if Amador, who's not as evil as she says, not that I would ever vote for him, but the fact that if he's in there, people will just have to say you want to build it. There's no GMOs grown in New York State. Lopez is totally into having something like that written up, and he's a Republican. Now, wouldn't it be that if Amador got in, that he'd be more liable to or able to do something on a more progressive level if people push him to do so?
I don't think so. And by the way, I think the whole premise that you're basing the argument on is not really so. So, for example, I know Kacik. She's a very progressive woman.
Right.
Very progressive, led the anti-fracking movement in here. And she is one of those people who goes out there in as FDR was when he ran for the state Senate and in a Republican area and says, I'm going to make some real changes here and people respect and they vote for you. I think the problem with a lot of these people is that they are so middle of the road and they don't do anything. And nobody has any real. But I am not going to make an endorsement on this air of any candidate, but I'm telling you, I know her,
right.
And I know that her principles are.
I've met her many times myself, and I've also met Amador many times.
Sure. Okay, but, David, got to let you go. Okay.
Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right. We are running into the third and final 20 minutes of the show. We'll take a couple of seconds break, and we will be right back.
Support comes from Curtis Lumber, proudly serving their communities for over 100 years, providing lumber, building materials, doors, windows, paint, and more, 21 locations in New York and northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. Gatherer's Gourmet Granola, locally produced non-GMO granola, now with gluten-free options, available in New York State and Hannaford supermarkets. GGranola.com. O'Reilly Talbot and Oaken Associates, environmental consultants for Western New England, OTO-ENV.com. The Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting Food for Thought Microbirth, Thursday, November 20th at 7 p.m., thelinda.org. And the University Club Foundation, presenting a celebration of New York State History Month, public luncheons, lectures, book signings, and a mobile phone history hunt, universityclubalbany.com.
And we are back, and from Scott in Ballston Spa, I voted I can't get either of my kids, 22 and 26, to vote this time or in past elections. I even point out how one candidate or another will impact their personal rights. They do have IDs, and there is no reason restricting them. I still think there's a good chance of voter fraud. If IDs are not required, they could have ID initiatives like they have voter initiatives. That's what he said, from Scott. Okay, and now, and that was on email. Let's go at WAMC.org. Let us go to Anne in Woodstock. All right, Anne, you're on. Bring it.
Hi, Alan. I just wanted to say one thing. I'm a mass voter. I'm actually at the poll this minute. But one thing about a major difference between Republicans and Democrats in Massachusetts, you know, vote the governor, it's a big deal. And Coakley is against the pipeline, and she's much more environmentally protective and, you know, wanting to change. We don't have that, you know, we've got no more time to decide if we want to save the environment and if we want to do something about climate change. We're way at the end of that.
Okay, so you made your call.
Okay.
And you made your point.
And then I want to say that my daughter, who lives in, we moved from Lee to West Stockbridge. I moved, my daughter stayed in the other house. We were both disenrolled from, I thought I was a voter in Lee. Yeah. I've always voted, and she was also. And then she got sent something that told her, you know, for registering to vote, which she filled out, and she sent to the Lee Town Hall. And
you moved, so you had to re-register.
Well, I was told by the West Stockbridge Town offices that I was still enrolled in Lee until I had told them that I was, you know, I was voting somewhere else, but I wasn't.
Okay, so Anne, let me just say that this is, because there are so many people behind you,
right,
that this is something that everybody has to realize, that they have to check and recheck.
Right,
and it's a shame
we can't register to vote the day before an election.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks, Anne, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Let's go to David Woodstock. David, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I voted Straight Working Families Party, even though I've been a Democrat since 1964 when I voted for LBJ for the first time. And the reason I did was I believe that it's not that we're punishing Cuomo by voting Working Families Party, but we're making it very clear to him that the agreements he made with the Working Families Party to get their endorsement can't be ignored.
But he hasn't done it. In other words, he hasn't gone out there and worked assiduously for Democratic candidates. We know that. That was the major promise.
Look, yeah, I know, and so he's already done. He's already betrayed that one. So what else will he betray? Fracking, the women's equality vote, campaign finance reform. We don't know what he's going to betray. We know he's interested in him getting elected to whatever office he can get elected to. And I'm not saying that this is a golden bullet that's going to save the world. I'm saying it's the best thing we can do as people who want to keep Cuomo as close to a progressive agenda as possible is to vote Working Families Party.
But why not?
A big chunk of his vote comes from us.
So, yes, that's true. I hear you. But what if you were to have voted Green?
Well, that, I mean, I really believe, as much as I'm a member of the my town's environmental commission, so I'm certainly as green as anyone, but it's a wasted vote. He's going to be elected. The only question is...
Well, he's going to be elected.
Where's the support? Yeah, but the question, if he sees a bigger percentage of his vote coming from progressives, I think that's going to give him a little bit more pause.
Wait, David, he knows...
To honor his agreements.
But he'll know that every green vote is a vote from that he would have had. Won't he?
I don't know, but every family's party vote is a vote that he knows he would have gotten.
Okay. David, thank you for the call.
One more thing, sure, Alan. Sure. I was shocked to hear you saying you were deleting emails while you were driving. I know you don't have
a
show.
No, I never said that.
You said you were deleting emails while you were driving.
Never. I never said, David, that's a...
Gosh, Alan, are we going to have to go back and roll the tape?
David, you're a liar.
I invite you to go back and roll the tape,
David,
Alan.
Thank you. But I never said it, and I never will do it. Okay. God, I hate when people lie. Okay, let's go to Maxine in Harriman. Maxine, you're on.
Hi. I voted this morning. My husband and I always vote. I voted for Hawkins of the Green Party for governor.
Uh-huh.
And the other candidates, I was all over the ticket. I don't think I actually... I only voted for one Democrat. And after reading a particular book, I don't think I will ever vote for another incumbent. You know, there is a book called Extortion by Peter Schweitzer.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about how we look at campaign monies and we, you know, we're so afraid corporations, like, you know, the Citizens United thing. He pointed out we need to start looking at our congressmen and our senators as well, because a lot of times the reason why bills get hung up in Congress is because the people, the executive officers of the corporations, haven't paid enough money.
Hmm.
You know,
that's very interesting.
Across the board, haven't paid enough money.
No, the influence of corporate money is amazing, and
we need to look at the other side too. I mean, if my hair was shorter, it would have raised up at some of the.
Okay, Maxine, I got a lot of people behind you. Thank you very much for making the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye. Let's go to Lisa in Woodstock. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, sure. Alan. I just wanted to say, after hearing some of the comments about Cecilia Katchik, that I just thought I should call because I got what I considered to be disturbing phone calls this past Friday from the George Amador campaign. They were both recorded messages, and they both said that Cecilia Katchik supports third trimester, ninth-month abortions, which I know is a total lie. And I know that there are dirty campaigns, but I want everyone to know what kind of campaign he's running.
Okay, so we had one saying that they were a little concerned about Katchik doing too many, sending too many letters. You're saying you heard something that you didn't believe to be true, and I appreciate the call, Lisa. I'm just trying to get to everybody, okay?
Thank you. I also just want to say I did vote for Howie Hawkins, and I think that this is a great time to vote for him because Cuomo will win anyway. Thank you.
There's no doubt about that. Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's go to James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to quote the eminently quotable Winston Churchill, who I still love, who said, ours is we have the worst form of government except for all the other ones. And it's terrible, but people go out and vote even if you don't agree with me. Because people, as a caller said before, people, are died for the right to vote.
You bet.
And that's it.
But going to vote, James, unarmed, without having studied anything, is, it's great that everybody should go out and vote. You're right. But it would be even better if everybody just sort of thought about all this stuff a little bit. I think that's what we do here.
Well, I spend sleepless nights,
right,
thinking about the things, and I did vote my conscience. But I'm not telling people how to vote. Just go vote. This is your right. This is what we, people fought and died for this.
Gotcha, James. A very important and inspirational call. Thank you for making it. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Right.
Let's go to Paul in Port Henry. Okay, Paul, 1-800-348-2551. Go, Paul.
Morning, Alan. Alan, this afternoon. I voted this afternoon in the town of Moriah, and I knew enough to turn the ballot over, which you have to do.
Indeed.
To vote on the propositions. But I said something to the poll workers. Are you reminding people? And it's apparent they've been told they can't remind people.
Mm.
Yet your screener says that he was told. I wonder about this inconsistency throughout the state. And I, well, first of all, I encourage everybody to know that the propositions are on the backside, not on the front side of the ballot. It's very easy to overlook them. And I'm upset by the inconsistency throughout the state if the, what your screener says is correct.
Well, I'm sure it is. He wouldn't lie to you. But I have a feeling that, you know, some of the people who are calling the shots in these voting places either have their own reasons for doing it or their own different understandings of what the law is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they did say that there was a table over in the corner where both sides were visible, but I didn't even see it when I came
okay.
in.
Okay. Paul, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate
okay,
it.
I'll,
yeah.
Okay, Al. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Lou in Palinville. Okay, Lou, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I'm just, in response to the initial question, why aren't people voting? A little bit of anecdotal evidence here is I have two family members, my mother and my younger sister. My sister's 20 years old. She's not voting because she's lazy. She's apathetic. She doesn't mm-hmm. think it's important, or she just doesn't care. You know, I couldn't even get her to get out of bed. And then on the other side of it, my mother, you know, she works at a hospital. She's too busy. She can't go out and
yep.
vote.
Yep.
That's what her excuse was, and it's just... You know, I'm busy. I have life. I have things to do. But I got up and I voted first thing this morning. I mean, the polls are open at 6. So,
sure.
you know, I just don't see an excuse. And then just in response to the last caller, at my polling place, they did tell me mm-hmm. to look on the back
sure.
and that's where the propositions were.
Sure.
So that's it. Thanks so much.
Hey, Lou, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Let's go to Carol in Holbrook. Carol, are you on?
Yes, I'm on. Can you hear me?
I think I can. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I voted today, and for our assemblyman, who is Mark Butler, I actually wrote in Mickey Mouse because we haven't had a choice for I don't know how many last elections, and I'm wondering if you know why that is, why we don't have a Democrat to run against him.
Well, quite often, and I don't know that race at all. I want to say my ignorance is appalling, but what happens is that if the district has been so configured that the other party can't win at all. There's no chance. And that's why I hate this business about the way we draw districts so much. Then a lot they can't find anybody to run.
Well, that's what I figured it was. We're very heavily Republican around here. I like to go sure. and vote because I know I'm one of the few.
Right. I got it. Well, that's the best I could offer you. I wish I had a little bit more knowledge of the district, but I don't. Thanks again for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. And we have heard by email from Bill. First, the reason people don't vote is because of negative campaigning. They assume every candidate is a bag of stable sweepings, and none deserves the effort to go and vote. Cecilia Katschick is a good example of something my mother used to tell me. She used to say, a good liar can make do with half the truth. Her attacks have been totally and completely a case of that. You said that Proposition 1 should not be passed because it's a bad solution to a real problem. George Amador voted against the abortion bill for the same reason, and that does not make him against women's rights, and that's from Bill. Email 1-800-348-2551 for Karen in... Poughkeepsie. You're on, Karen.
Hi, Alan. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I'm really inspired. I'm so happy that so many people are voting for Howie Hawkins. And I really appreciate what you're saying about you have to be an informed voter. It's so important to vote, yes, but, I mean, your point, I don't know if was made to the other caller, but it's so important to be informed because people just vote for the two-party system no matter what. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. And in this case, Cuomo does not fit the bill.
So political socialization, didn't your parents tell you you were a Republican or a Democrat?
My parents were Republicans, and I never understood that at all, ever, even from a young age. And when I grew up, I registered nonpartisan so I could have an open mind, and there's no way in... H-E double hockey sticks that I could be a Republican for many, many reasons. And So you gotta open your mind up, and you have to be able to. That being said, you have to open your mind up. I mean, I do open my mind, but I haven't come across any Republican that has anything to do with the people.
You know,
and I don't know.
I often talk about when I was in the sixth grade and the election was. It was between Stevenson and Eisenhower, and I told my mother I was voting for Eisenhower in the class election. She said, "No, dear, we're Democrats," and that's what we call political socialization. Karen, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Right. Let's go to Bob in Syracuse. Bob, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say why I did not vote, and there's many, many reasons.
Okay, but give us the top one because we're running out of time. Go ahead. The top reason is.
I just want to say I'm ashamed of myself, and I will never not vote again after listening to your show. People have died for this right, and I'm ashamed that I didn't vote.
Well, Bob, you could still vote unless, of course, you have to register first.
I'm out of state. I'm out of state right now.
Okay, you know, I went and got an absentee ballot because I knew I'd be working here all day, and there's no question about it. Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay, let's go to John in Albany. John in Albany, you're on.
Hey, Alan. It's a great show. I just wanted to say a couple things real quick. One is I think that voting is important, but I think that jury duty is 10 times more important in terms of civic responsibility.
But jury duty you have to do. In other words, you don't get a choice about jury duty.
Yeah,
voting
people
is,
go.
Yeah.
They go and they give all kinds of excuses and they're trying to get out of it.
Yeah,
all
they
the
do.
Time.
But it is mandatory. I mean, when they call you, you got to go. You don't go, you're in trouble.
Good point.
That's not true about voting. And maybe it should be. You know, there are countries where there was mandatory voting, but of course you only had one person to vote for. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Let's go to John in New Paltz. John, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan. I wanted to say that, first off, I'm a Hawkins voter. I think she's will be shortly when I get to the polls. I just wanted to mention Proposition 3,
yep.
which is the proposition to borrow $2 billion
yep.
Ostensibly for school funding. I am not supporting Proposition 3 because I believe it's just another mechanism to implement the upcoming PARC exams, which are standardized tests. The new generation of Common Core standardized tests. I'm a little bit suspicious as to whether any of that money will go anywhere else. They talk about pre-K, other things they want to do with the money, but I think it's more to feed the data beast, and I'll be voting no on Prop 3.
Yeah, there's another reason on that Prop 3 thing is that Andrew Cuomo, of course, has put tax cap in. That means that school districts can't get the money that they think they need. That means if you support it, you're supporting it, you're borrowing the money, which we probably should be paying with as we go and not indebting future kids and everybody else. 30 years from now, it'll be somebody else's problem if you're following me. John, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah. Bye.
Bye. And Mary in Newburgh. Mary, you got 1 minute. Go.
Okay. I want to tell women, encourage women to get more savvy. I know they're savvy now, but they should get more savvy, get out there and vote for themselves, get themselves into the political process. There's not enough of us out there. We're 50% at least of the populations of everywhere.
53.
I mean, we wouldn't have wars if we had more women out there preventing sons from getting killed in the wars actually even coming up.
I agree with you.
There's ways of solving things. And the women have got to take away the monolith of beauty that they think we have, that we belong in just beautiful places. We're thinking people. We're humans.
Okay.
Intelligent machines.
Okay. You make a good point, and I agree with it. Thank you very much. All right. We are basically out of time, right, Zach? If you think about it, we're out of time. And I am so sorry because we've left James from Monroe. That'd be James Monroe on the air, on the phone. I got to tell you, you've all been terrific today. Whoa, look at all those underwriting. We're just about out of time. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Valley Home Improvement, designing and building kitchens, bathrooms, interiors, and additions throughout the Pioneer Valley. Quote, love your home, valleyhomeimprovement.com, the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. Preservenys.org. And Feel Goods, providing year year-round deliveries of produce from local farms for pickups at workplace or community sites and offering workplace wellness options, field-goods.com and Rugi's Subaru in the village of Rhinebeck. New Subarus and over 150 pre-owned vehicles specializing in Subaru and GM vehicles, service and parts, RugiSubaru.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. He did a terrific job. Very demanding day. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.